When New Orleans Saints tight end Benjamin Watson posted his raw, emotional thoughts about the Ferguson decision on Facebook in November 2014, he never expected to reach 800,000 people. His honest reflections, expressing anger, frustration, fear, sadness, and hope, resonated because they articulated what many Americans felt but couldn't express. Watson's perspective as a Black NFL player, father, and Christian offers a unique window into America's persistent racial challenges. His viral post evolved into Under Our Skin, a book that explores how Americans with different skin tones relate to each other in a nation where racial tensions continue to simmer beneath the surface. What makes Watson's voice so compelling isn't that he has all the answers, but that he acknowledges the messy complexity of race in America while still seeking understanding and reconciliation. His journey takes us through personal experiences that reveal how deeply race is woven into the American fabric and how we might begin to unravel its tangled threads. Benjamin Watson traces his understanding of race through his grandfather Pop Pop, who lived near the Watergate Hotel in D.C. Born in 1920, Pop Pop connected Watson's generation to slavery. His own grandfather was born in 1860, placing Watson just 5 generations from that era. In Virginia, authorities once drained and refilled a whites-only pool after Pop Pop swam in it. His parents moved him to D.C. before his mid-teens, fleeing a town where burning crosses appeared regularly. For Black Americans, slavery's legacy remains living memory. When Pop Pop turned 35 in 1955, segregation still dominated, 90 years after slavery's official end. The 13th Amendment's promise was undermined by neo-slavery through human trafficking, forced labor, Black codes, Jim Crow laws, and KKK terrorism. Watson's childhood friendship with Bert, a white boy, exemplified racial innocence. They spent summers fishing and exploring where black and white didn't matter, only the blue skies of summer and the promise of adventure. This innocence ended when classmate Andy told him, "Katie would like you if you were white," after Watson planned to give Valentine's chocolates to a blonde classmate. In his predominantly white school, he suddenly understood race wasn't just physical, but a social barrier. The 1965 Selma to Montgomery March exemplified nonviolent resistance against systemic injustice. While humans reached for the moon, Black Americans still faced Jim Crow laws and police brutality. After Bloody Sunday's violence, nationwide television coverage awakened white Americans to these realities. The subsequent march grew from 2,000 to 50,000 participants, both black and white, by the time they reached Montgomery. The movement's strength came from ordinary African Americans who met violence with nonviolence and hate with prayer, maintaining dignity despite dehumanization. Watson contrasts this with Ferguson's riots, expressing how property destruction confirms stereotypes and undermines progress, though he acknowledges the pain of perceived injustice. Today's fragmented media landscape, from cell phone videos to partisan social media, pushes people to extremes and eliminates nuance. We now seek facts that confirm our beliefs rather than pursuing deeper truths. The question remains, could we address current racial tensions with the same dignity and strategic nonviolence that defined Selma? White Americans often struggle to understand Black Americans' fear of police, a fear rooted in both history and ongoing reality. From James Craig Anderson's murder to Walter Scott's shooting to the deaths of Tamir Rice and Eric Garner, these aren't isolated incidents, but evidence of a persistent pattern. Watson's Facebook post after Ferguson urged young black men to obey police while acknowledging how obey echoes slavery-era commands. A fellow NFL player tells his son to follow all police instructions even if wrong, saying, "Daddy has money for bail." This reality, where parents must teach children that survival requires extraordinary deference, creates a psychological burden unknown to most white Americans. The divide between law enforcement and black communities stems from both current tensions and historical trauma, making understanding this fear's rational basis crucial to bridging the gap. Despite their hero status, black athletes frequently face racial slurs and degrading treatment. Michigan quarterback Devin Gardner received racist tweets questioning whether a black man could effectively play quarterback, a position traditionally associated with leadership. In predominantly white stadiums, black players sometimes feel reduced to mere entertainment. The N-word's dehumanizing history in slavery and Jim Crow marks it as a tool of oppression. Though some argue blacks have reclaimed the word, Watson firmly rejects this view, seeing it as a symbol of generational trauma. While blatant racism is easily condemned, subtle bias persists. As a black student in mostly white schools, Watson encountered racial stereotypes daily. People assumed he would excel in races due to his race, and in college, he faced persistent assumptions that he was there only for athletics, often finding himself defending his academic credentials. These stereotypes create barriers that perpetuate racial disparities. When we reduce people to racial expectations, whether seemingly positive or negative, we deny their individuality and humanity. Recent years echo the racial tensions of the 1960s through tragic events like Eric Garner's death, Michael Brown's shooting, and the Charleston church massacre. As Watson's father observed, racial tensions were as bad as I've seen it since the 60s. Despite three generations of progress in Watson's family, significant disparities remain in wages, education, and housing. Millennials maintain similar racial biases as their parents, while black Americans, 13.2% of the population, comprise 43% of those incarcerated. Yet Watson finds hope through historical perspective. Compared to the eras of slavery and civil war, progress is evident. Separate but equal practices have largely ended, voting rights are secured, and interracial relationships flourish. Watson proposes four paths forward: cross-racial relationship building, family education about race, church integration, and national prayer, not as passive worship, but as transformative community action. Watson observes how people identify evil in events like the Charleston church massacre, yet question God's existence. America's racial issues stem from a spiritual root. When we reduce others to stereotypes, we ignore our own failings, despite being 99.9% genetically identical. A dermatologist showed Watson that hair and skin structures are fundamentally the same across races, with melanin content being the sole difference. It's remarkable that this simple pigment has caused such deep social division. Watson emphasizes God's transformative power for heart-level change that leads to reformed behavior and society. Grace bridges racial divides, as shown by John Newton, the slave trader who wrote Amazing Grace after his conversion. Moving forward requires pursuing justice while practicing forgiveness without excusing wrongs. True healing begins with changed hearts through divine intervention, impacting both communities and institutions. Viewing racial reconciliation as a spiritual rather than political journey helps us see beyond surface differences to our shared humanity.